52-year-old man who crossed a creek in Kate's Cove and damaged a tree. You know what that cost that man? Non-DUI, non-drug. He just damaged a tree. He hopped a creek in a Toyota truck. A year and a half of federal prison. This is federal land. So let's have that discussion. You're a federal employee, federal land, U.S. Forest Service. One of these cars damages a tree. I have a friend from Georgia in Cates Cove, got a year and a half of federal prison because he damaged a tree. Let's talk about that. I'm not able to speak. That's a big impact.
I'm not able to speak to the specifics of that case because I don't know anything about it. But
nobody here knows the details of something.
I just gave you a detail.
There's rally races in other parts of the Cherokee National Forest. Why does Rally USA want to have one here?
Sure. So the reason we're even all here having this conversation at all is because there had been a rally, World Rally, in the United States for 37 years, 36 years now. And the Ford mostly came to the guys that organized the world level and said, hey, we're a big U.S. company, we want to be, and we have a presence, all in the United States, right? We want to have a race in the United States because that's what we want. And they're one of the three manufacturers that have that presence. And so the world level people said, hey, let's go looking for places. They scouted out and they eventually, and it's hard to find a place, honestly, that has the right combination of stuff. You got to have enough gravel roads left over, you just don't have that. You do have it out west a little, but the problem is a straight gravel road that goes for 9 miles, in no turns is not the most exciting thing to race on. They have a lot more of that out there. They also wanted a place that looked like America. This is their words, and they said to a world audience, Southeast looks like America, and the images will remind people of America, and they'll be excited to see a race occur in that environment. You also need to be near good shipping, so Savannah's not too far away, and Atlanta, the cars come in usually by air, people come in by air, and Atlanta's really close. So this is sort of one of those spots that you've got a combination of things that would allow for a race like this. The race up in Bristol, Johnson City, Bristol area, doesn't have quite enough roads to be able to support the 3 days that a world event would have. And so that was part of their narrowing down process, is, have enough roads, have the transportation, have the road. And this is an area that has all those things.
I am supposed to direct the Forest Service. This event will likely draw mimic racers in the future outside of an official event. What is in place to prevent that in the future?
So that's, again, a good question. That's something that we'll take under advisement through this process, and then we'll work with our partners after the fact, before the fact, just talking about it. We'll work with our law enforcement, and we'll work with our partners that are here in the back of the room tonight to try to mitigate that as best as possible.
Say something about that, because that's a concern I wrote down a minute ago when it was brought up. That's a great question. The rally community talks to itself. It's a clubs, and so if we establish something here that could get bigger and bigger and be beneficial to people, the last thing we want is honestly 16, 18-year-old kid thinking this is cool and going out and driving on gravel roads up here. And I was a 16-year-old stupid kid at times, so I feel like I can understand it. The best way we can do it is just make this something we discuss in the community and make sure it's something that we won't tolerate, right? It's not uncommon to ban someone from events. It happened a couple weeks ago after an event, a competitor. The community can police itself. itself in that way. And so, you know, it does. It's something we need help to do, but it's something that we do take very seriously. Because I mean, the last, you know, you put all this effort into something that's good for, you know, for the community, not this community, but the rally community, to have another race, and then it goes away because some 18-year-old kid goes too fast on, you know, in the middle of the year when the race isn't even going on.
So I'll direct this one towards Rally USA. Is everything pertaining to this race happening in Polk County? And this would include pre-race and post-race.
Sure. Like I said, the things you needed were all those things I mentioned, and you also need a host city or an area that has enough hotel footprint in general to be able to allow for the people to come in and stay and so on. And, you know, I don't want this to be the case, but Chattanooga is big enough to do that, and it's close enough to the roads to allow for those, you know, harmony between the roads and that. So the answer is yes. The June event is going to be headquartered out of Chattanooga, and the service park is in Chattanooga. That may be all that's in Chattanooga, by the way, is the headquarters and the service park. And when I say headquarters, I don't mean some leaning building on the side of it, you know, on a hill. It's just where we have a building down on Broad Street that we're going to use. And that's where they would come and register and stuff like that. So that'll be there, and all the racing will be out here. And frankly, spectators want to stay closer to the racing action. I mean, where the cars can service is less of a draw. And so we, by pushing people to an area, can encourage people to go stay, you know, places closer to where the action is to get more economic benefit to that. We can also do some things like hosting small events in those areas, which we've discussed over the last many, many months, about all the different ways we could host events out here, which would draw people and push people out this way. So the answer is yes, it occurs in more than one place. But the answer is also, we can design it to push people in the direction of where the people benefit. And I said this a bunch of times, Chattanooga will take care of itself. They'll get benefit, of course, we know that. That we, as an event, can push people out here. We did training in September, just down the street, that we could have done elsewhere, but we put money and effort into having training out here for 50 or 60 people on a Saturday, just so we could have more impact out here. Copper Hill was all about having impact in the county, and that's the way it's been since last year when I stood right there. That's been the way. That's been my mandate to the staff, is figure out ways to benefit Polk County with all the decisions, little or big, that we make.
Thanks, Derek. You got an estimation of $1,500 impact.
So those economic impact numbers come from, what was the number of spectators we had associated with that?
1,000.
1,000 people? Yeah, this is the Copper Hill numbers, yeah. So it comes from tourism numbers that we were given, and then times the number of people that we counted that we had around.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, what did you say, four more written questions?
Yes.
I want to make sure we get through those.
Hang on. So, the only way this county makes money off of that, people have to be here. They're in Chattanooga, all the way against the dark.
No, that number that was mentioned was the number from Copper Hill and Fall.
Can you explain how you came about that number? Because that number seems, the math is not mathing.
So let's table that one. I want him to ask it, but I want to make sure we get through the four questions that he's still holding right now, because we've got a separate time for.
So one of the questions is the economic impact of Polk County. We'll end on that one, and we've got plenty of time. Are there plans in place, is Rally USA have plans in place to clean up, to not cost the county any money, specifically talking about garbage and trash?
Absolutely, it does. Every area that we have any footprint whatsoever, whether it's a little service park, or whether it's a refueling zone, or whether it's people on the stage, whether it's just workers on the stage, not spectators, like at the start of a stage, there'll be trash receptacles there, and there'll be, you know, once again, the mandate is, if the area is dirty, it's like being a hiker, right? Go clean it up if you're there, even if it's not your garbage. So those garbage contracts, porta potty contracts, and receptacles will all be in place, you know, and people being told what to do to keep this place clean and clean it up.
Damages and liability, who's responsible for that? Insurance carrier, like, I guess, is Rally USA insured to cover damages and liabilities?
So the way insurance for events like this happen is that there's a sanctioning body. So, you know, if you hear NASCAR, right, or you hear NHRA, those are sanctioning bodies for those types of racing. Ours is the ARA, American Rally Association. It falls under USAC, which is another racing organization. And the insurance comes from the contract that USAC has to ensure all their events. They've got two different levels of insurance. We've selected the higher level, which is $5 million of coverage. We didn't have to, but because the race didn't require it, or they didn't require it, but we selected that level. That ensures everybody at an adequate level to make you feel comfortable.
Philip, the impacts of wildlife, specifically the bear, what does that mean?
So, a really good question as well. So, impacts to wildlife are being evaluated by our South Zone wildlife biologists right now. And the level of analysis that we're doing requires us specifically to look at extraordinary circumstances. So that's what part of this process that we're doing right now, they're evaluating.
In a critical time, that timeline for bears, for their cubs?
So that's what those biologists will be reviewing as part of this analysis. So from an effect perspective, obviously if they hit a bear, there will be an effect there. If there is, let's say this evening, if you were to drive to the bear reserve and you had an accident and you hit a bear, it would follow the same protocol that it follows with Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency, where you would call the sheriff's office or you would call TWRA, let them know that you killed a bear, and it would be follow the exact same process.
What if it does? Because, we're in trouble. They're through there racing. They're going to be able to stop like we are.
If a person was to hit a bear with a car, they don't get in trouble for that, whether it's in the bear reserve or not. That's not a violation, essentially.
But, they are going through there really fast. So, that's something that they really need to think about because
it just falls under all the hard work that we do to make our fire reserve grow.
This race is during the day, right?
Yes. Doesn't matter. The bears don't know the difference between day and night.
The bears
I'm sorry.
Are out there in the day. You never seen them?
I haven't seen them crossing the street when there's a bunch of.
They bear don't want them jacks.
No,
so the people that live on the roads are allowed for, we may not let spectators come into an area, but we'll still allow those people to access their properties. They'll get permission to go past the checkpoint, if you will. And so, what was the specific question about economic impact?
Well, essentially, was that there would be a minimal economic impact?
Once again, it's it's what we can design into an event. You know, we did Copper Hill and we didn't advertise it on purpose. I didn't want necessarily to drive. I don't mean that to say we didn't want to bring an impact into Copper Hill, but I didn't want to drive a bunch of people. It was an early event. I wanted to sort of just let it happen naturally. And we had quite a few hundred people come as spectators only. Hundreds and hundreds of people came as spectators only. And then we also had all the crews and the drivers and navigators and the volunteers that came. So that's how that number kind of gets to the level it was. You know, and that was a natural, once again, something we didn't force or push to get higher. You know, being creative, like I said, is the biggest way we can impact things. I think I mentioned that last year as well. You know, if we want to make there be impact to a community, once again, we come and go in a couple of days. This isn't like we're building some giant track like in Bristol, and you're going to have to stare at it the whole year. You know, we can design something that brings more people in for specific or entertainment parts of an event, concerts or a, you know, watching the cars get worked on or things like that. And that's just, like, I don't know all the answers to that. And I've said this a bunch, too. People live up here know, you know, the ways to create more opportunity. And so if we'd sit around the table together, I think we'd probably have the best result. So saying, here's what a rally can do, and throwing out ideas and sort of figuring out a way to bring more impact to an area. So we can make it be very little if the desire is to have very little. But if the desire is to have it bigger, then we can do that, too. And it's just a matter of
your question in the pamphlet, the numbers were based on the potential of bringing a possibility of about 1,500 people into town. And
so it's just an estimation.
It's just an estimate with them thinking about them spending about $200 to $300 per person.
Because we haven't seen that in our county budget, any of that. Right. So we're
I'll
just
come grab table.
Yeah, it's just an estimate.
It's in the Tennessee fiscal year 2022.
Actually during the rafting season at all, and not to be in any hunting season at all. So steer clear of both of those. It puts us at times of year, frankly, where there's not a lot of tourism going on. Chattanooga or up here either. I mean, you know, the hotels are more empty in those little windows of time, like in early March or that kind of thing. And so hopefully that would be good long-term benefit. And once again, I don't want to impact any of the rafting companies. And I've asked that question directly. I said, you know, is it going to hurt you because of traffic on 64 or stuff like that? Because we have a little bit of the race car around 64. It's just, you know, 40-something cars or so. And I think the impact, there'll definitely be some impact. And people might not be able to stay up here that would want to see the rally if it's already full because of rafters, or it might display some rafters, but it'd still be business. I think the idea, the way I would look at a rally is, and this is someone else told me, it's an engine to push people into a place. Right, and so what you get out of that is up to you. So if the idea is to push people into a place that would not come to Polk County or come to Southeast Tennessee, maybe having them come in this first event or coming for the race is not really the ultimate objective. The objective is getting a person who wouldn't have come here anyway and seeing the area and they come back, right? And so I think the downstream economic impact is actually probably greater than the impact during the events themselves. And it does feed into the idea that tourism is the draw that brings people back, the beauty of the mountains and that kind of thing. So,
do we have any more?
I think for the June event, you know, I'm a little business guy. I don't think I'm going to make anything out of it, but I think it's a really cool thing. I think, you know, if we could build up to where it's the world event. I mean, we're talking about the world. These things bring in tens of thousands of people for the world events. I think that the June event, you know, is just a stepping stone to the bigger thing. But I think it's a chance for something really cool to come to Cole County. I think it could be really big, really neat.
Are y'all gonna come up here and pressure wash my house? Because it's right across, I mean, just the road's right in front of my house.
Am I gonna come pressure wash your house? Is that
any of you, any of you, pressure wash my house when it's through. You know, I mean, go.
Do we have any more?
I have no more written down questions. I put these questions in my own words. I hope I didn't lose the integrity of any of them because there are multiple that were asked the same questions. So I have no more written questions.
All right, so with this, what I'm going to do is turn it over to Executive Hatcher for just a minute to talk about how we're going to do the last of this public comment with taking questions from the group and then questions from our elected officials and our partners from our stakeholders.
So if you have a question, like I said, I think I know most everybody, especially if you decide over not anything. But so if you do have a question, Shane will help me keep an eye on her time. But at this time, so if you have a question, if you'll raise your hand, I'll call you out. You're going to have 90 seconds of uninterrupted time, and then it'll go back to the person the question was directed to. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I just had a statement.
Go ahead.
People come up to the mountain and they come in and they see the beauty and they look around and they say, what's that sound? I had one teenage girl up there say, I've never heard songs. I've never heard just trees and birds and all that stuff. Thank you. Love the piece up there.
Yes, sir.
I didn't hear earlier, but the landowners, are they going to be able to leave or not? Because we both work in local hospitals here in Chattanooga, so I'm driving down Baker Creek, you know, in and out twice a day. And, you know, it's hard to get days off because we are short staffed. So are we going to be able to come in and come out?
Yes.
Or are we going to have to somehow get time off from work, which, like, yeah, we really can't afford that.
The answer is, I mentioned that a moment ago, but anybody that lives up on the road will be impacted. We've two things. Number one, we've left a way out for people so they're not captive. And with rare exception to what I just said, there might be some pieces on some other roads, but not Baker Creek, they're like that. But on Baker Creek, you can get out.
Okay.
It's not necessarily going to be the most convenient way, because I know that road real well.
Yeah, so which way?
To the southeast.
Towards Georgia?
Towards Georgia.
Okay, so it's like an hour and a half.
I understand.
Before I get an hour and a half from my destination.
I've driven it a bunch too, but the rest of the answer is, we want to talk to each person, understand their circumstances, so you can say, hey, this is my circumstance. And because the schedule of rally isn't, once again, it's not like 12 hours the road's closed, right? We have the discretion of scheduling adjustments, and we can work around someone else's schedule. And I'll say, well, we can't work around every person's schedule. If someone said, I got to be able to do it this exact way, there's a circumstance, I'm sure that it'll fall outside of what I'm saying. But we'll work that relationship as best we can.
And
Baker Creek especially, I know because of those pieces of land. Years ago, that they actually raced by that. The private one in the middle.
Yes, it's 30 seconds. So I'll be in the right time. So, Red, if you don't care.
On the old Boy side where all the people live, can you move that on back to the Frog Loop Road, the Peavine Road, and the Hogback Road?
So as part of the analysis we're doing right now, what we had requested was to essentially give us the list of all the potential roads that they would like to use. And that's what we're doing the analysis on. If we move toward doing a permit, then all of these mitigating factors that are being brought to our attention tonight is what will go into consideration of what the Forest Service may even offer as an available option, if that makes sense.
It does.
Okay.
Anything else, Red? You still got me.
That's all I got.
Good. Yes, sir.
You know, it's a money event, and we live in Baker Creek, and the roads are pretty rough. I've been out there a year. I spent $300 putting gravel down. So after this race, is there money to improve the people that live out there, you know, give them back some of this money, because the roads are horrible. You know, you can tell who lives out there, but it's where the muddiest cars in the parking lot. So with all this money being made, because it is a money event, are they going to improve the forest roads? You know, what's going to be given back to the people that live out there?
So that's a really great question again, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Essentially, the way the permit would work is that they would have to return that road to the same shape it's in now, or better.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's rough right now. So they have to put gravel down. Let's grade for gravel. And grading out there does nothing, because if it rains, it just washes down and it's worse than it was. And then we're, you know, 4 inches deep in mud over the whole park. So if there's money to be made, let's improve those roads. And if you want to do it in the future, I say give back to the people. So, I mean, that's your negotiation. You know, make them fix the road. Make them fix the road before the race. Let's put some gravel down so we can get it out.
Well,
who
was the last one to put gravel on
you,
wasn't he?
I said $300 on gravel. Let's get somebody that with money to fix those roads up.
I'll add a quick comment to that. One of the first conversations that he and I had, I threw out the idea of if we're going to use some roads, like forecast which roads we want to use next year or the year after, and you know, don't go take a road that they're already going to work on, but take a road that they're not going to work on for a few years and go have us work on that road. And sort of lump some money into improving a road for everybody. We'd only use it for a couple days a year, but the other 363 days a year, everybody else gets to use the road. And so I thought that was I think that's a reasonable approach, and we're glad to do it. We just, you know, we have to have a rally to be able to have the money to be able to do stuff like that. But we're glad to do it. Yes, sir.
Again, on the subject of the roads, I too live out Baker Creek Road. You know, the timeline of when you're marking the road, recovering it to when, like when it is now, it's not the same as it was 2 weeks ago, that's for sure. I've just had to replace the shocks in my wife's car. If you come out there to my place two or three times, you'll have to fix yours too. So, would it be too much to ask to potentially recover these roads to the point where they're race ready? You get it ready for the race, you run the race, and then you put it back like it was race ready, so that you can drive a Land Cruiser through there without worrying about wrecking it. It's a pretty heavy duty vehicle, but it takes a beating, and it's showing. Like I said, we put gravel out there. If the wind blows, I have to crank a chainsaw to get in and out of there. Furthermore, beyond that, being able to come and go. It's okay to say things super vague, but I need to know some things, you know. Like, I need to know if it's going to take me 3 hours to get to work in the morning. I'm going to need to know. So I already have to leave at 6:15 in the morning to get there. I can tell it there right now. I'm not going to leave at 3:15. That ain't going to be good for me or nobody.
I'm not trying to be vague. It's just hard to know until I do what
it's
the
hard
needs
to,
are.
Yeah, it's hard to know. But, yeah. I mean, the specific route that I could, you know, take into account. And timelines, you know, because say it rubs me a bit the wrong way to pull up coming home at the end of the day, and I have to ask somebody that I've never seen before, that's never been here before, when's it gonna be okay for me to get home and feed my livestock?
Yeah, that's not intent to tell you what to do.
No, yeah, it's not telling me what to do. It's just to get to determine what I get to do, which is, well, for a Southern man, that can be difficult to wrestle with sometimes.
I would say, let's talk afterwards. You tell me what your limitations are, and I'll talk it out.
Okay. Well,
Jimmy, did you have something earlier? I don't know. You're good. Anybody else?
I do.
John?
Go ahead, man.
Hey, for the people that are being inconvenienced, I get this is a big deal to a lot of people. I really do. There is a potential for them to make money for private parking of cars along the route and private camping along the route, and private spectating places around the route. Like, they have the potential to make money like this if the race is actually passing their own private property, because people want to be up there to spectate, right? This is a thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The people that make the most benefit, honestly, at most rallies are not, I mean, most organizations are all volunteer and they're nonprofits, so they don't make any money, or they're run by the government in some places. It's the grassroots people who go out and sell stuff to the people that are spectating on the side of the road. They're not organized in any way. They just, you know, have a borough and they go out and sell beer to people on the side of the road. They're the ones that make the most impact or have the most impact personally.
As a recent meeting, I think the lady over there said that they regularly pay the camp along the route when you go to these things, right?
Yeah.
What do you generally pay the camp on private property along the route that's not a camping place? Just when you pull up into somebody's side yard, park your camper, what do you generally pay to stay on private property along the route?
We've never stayed on private property. We've only stayed in state parks. But, I mean, any landowner that has property could subdivide it for whatever they want to. And some of these volunteers can take the loan to pay whatever it takes to get as close to the property.
Well, I've been to, like, horse shows that are in the country before, and people commonly charge $100 to park a shopping trailer. And just private property that's near where the horse show is. Or, you know, if you go to a car race, it is very normal for there to be a sign in somebody's front yard that says $20 a car, park your car. I mean, I would think somebody could make up what they're losing on convenience pretty quickly. I don't know. I could be wrong.
It's not like a cow pasture. Like, if you're to park an RV on my property, you would literally need a bulldozer.
Oh, and not only that, you moved up there for a reason, right?
Yeah, I moved up.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Just truth be told, I moved up there to get away from Chattanooga.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's Jason.
Most of us know that the roads up there are very narrow, for the most part, and a lot of them have very steep drop-offs. You did state that PMS and fire rescue would be provided. Does that information have to be provided to the Forest Service? The extent of that rescue information to the Forest Service before a permit's issued?
Yes.
Okay, and do they go out and do they assess? Because a lot of that is if ground reports go off there, it will be high animal rescue. And we as the county don't have enough, you know, resources to go out there and explain it to people.
Correct. The answer is yes, we have to have a safety plan that addresses all that. It has to be approved by two very important entities, one the Forest Service, but also local fire rescue and EMS communities have to approve that. In fact, we're having a meeting on Wednesday in Chattanooga to go with the regional folks to be able to go through in excruciating detail exactly what we plan to do. And they're going to say whether or not it meets their standards. So we have to comply with their standards of what they feel is the right way to address stuff. And it doesn't pull vehicles or people off station from what they were going to do to support the county or support the local areas. These would, if it would get a no, right? We have to be pulling people from an area that has excess people to work off duty.
Now, when you say regional meeting, are you including the Polk County Fire Rescue?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's another. So on behalf of that, that's something that I know I've seen a lot of the different ones here. It not only will have to meet whatever Chattanooga says, it has to meet what those group of men right back there said.
Amen.
And it'll also not take out from the mamaws and the papaws that spend their tax money for the ambulance service and fire protection that's here. I know that's went around a lot, but that's not right and not fair to the taxpayer and the county to lose the service that they're provided and paid for. So it'll have to meet those requirements there as well. Yes, ma'am. Jimmy?
So service objective, businesses in the county provide, how is that looked at? You try to use local businesses for different services for this event, or do you go Chattanooga, Bradley, or wherever? How's that work?
I'll answer that by not answering it. I'll ask the guy in the red shirt behind you. What was Steve Rice's name? He's the head of the logistics head. What's my mandate, Steve, for business choice of businesses in the route?
Money to be spent in Polk County for the services, whether that's anything from portable toilets, the cones, fencing, you name it, has to be spent here in Polk County.
Now, the only limitation of that is, if there's just something we need that's not available in Polk County, right, then we have to go elsewhere. But the next step is to go, you know, one county over, right, as close to here as possible. And no offense to Georgia, but we're sticking in Tennessee. Yes, sir.
All right. So I'm just standing here, that you're being quiet. We don't always come to these meetings because we love our Polk brother and we
love, you guys would love to live up there. Because we don't want to make it seem like it's us against you or anybody against anybody, or being trite about Bears or anything like that. But there, just because you're taking everything into consideration this evening, I want you to know that there is a faction of Polk County that thinks that this is a celebration of our area. That's an opportunity for the world to look in upon us and say how great it is to be up on that mountain, to live like you live, to see those Bears, and to be a part of this county. Okay, we think that it's an opportunity that we should take. There's a lot of us here, but we want to come to these meetings because we don't want to do this other stuff, right? But there is a bunch of us, so take that into consideration. That there is a group that thinks that this is really cool to have the Super Bowl, and we will hold you to it. That is your goal, okay? And we would ask that the stages and all that stuff, stage winners and all that, whether Chattanooga's involved or not, just like he says, that's held out here for us, okay? And that we are the spotlight. And as long as that happens, there's a bunch of us here that are on board.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
So if any part of that was directed to me, one, I appreciate what you're going to say, and I would encourage you and anybody else in the room, like I said over and over, the email address that's on that scoping letter that Cindy's got back in the back corner, if you or anybody else is interested, sends an email. It's going to go to Justin, and he's going to get it, and it will become part of that project file for all of these considerations. So it's very helpful.
And there's phone numbers, addresses. There's about 12 different ways to contact.
County as a whole, or then now individuals done better than the county as a whole, and that's the same like John saying earlier. If I could put word in John's mouth, his business is going to do, and it'll make off of that. But like with what Samantha and Christy and Shane will sit here and tell you, and I hope I'm not over speaking for you, but the county itself, not in the county gym. Now, we understand there are small businesses and those with them. But
how much is in the county's budget for marketing? Because you're going to save all that money with all the free marketing. You're going to save all that with free press.
Do what now?
To look in on with the people that you bring in, right?
But for those individuals, for the small businesses, yes, but for the county itself, like County General 101 that we fool with, we won't receive any of that.
How do you make your money now?
Taxes.
Taxes.
Property taxes.
Property taxes.
All sales taxes go to the schools.
And how do you make property taxes? By people wanting to move here and live here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we think it's a perfect storm. It's a bunch of people coming here, dropping some money, and then leaving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. That benefits small business.
We're all down, right? We're all hearing that. We think it's a perfect score. We think it's just like the tourism with the rafting.
If somebody was talking about coming in and building a sports arena, Walmart. I mean, I'd be right here protesting that because that's not why I'm moving to Polk County. But this is like a golden nugget where we've got an event that's going to come in, bring some revenue into our area.
What they're going to do about the impact on the Bears. Like I said, we live in the reserve, and then you're going to let them, and I'm not saying you as, but you're going to let them come in and race down these roads that are not even fit to be drove on in front of our houses, in front of our homes, and just destroy stuff. I just don't understand it. And I understand what she's saying. It's going to bring in her revenue, but it's not bringing in nothing to me except messing our roads up, getting our bears and stuff all stirred up. And then, of course, I'm right on the road, so all that dirt nastiness is going to come on top of my house because all these cars are coming through there. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how this is a park, and we're going to let somebody try to destroy it, and that's what they're going to do. Regardless if you're going to put it back to what it was, you're going to destroy how it is now, and I don't understand that. I would have moved there. I moved to the forest because that's where I wanted to live. I didn't want you to come and destroy my property. I don't want it done.
But I am in fairness. I think you can hear what they're wanting to do to Talladega.
To? Yeah. Power up my property. Power up the property of us. Power up the what? It's a national forest. It's not a racetrack.
The gentleman right over here says that those are already in
Ultimately, he's afraid he's going to lose people. The rafters are afraid that they're going to lose business.
Maybe he rents to some of the crew.
I'm not going to deal in maybes. We can what if all day. There's an actual way of doing this. They do this all the time for businesses. And county economics. This is not a hard thing to do. They do. They're going to do an economic impact study.
Can't say, okay, this race is going to bring half a million dollars in. That's a projection.
I understand
nobody
that.
Nobody knows what the number is. It's up to the local businesses to determine how much revenue can I generate off of it.
Exactly. You include cannibalization of every business within a projection. That's standard. That's standard.
We're talking about June right now, and this isn't when we're trying to have the main event. That's the last meeting. They said this was for March. There were half a dozen people there that owned rafting companies that said it doesn't affect them a darn bit because you don't raft in March anyway. And initially it was going to be fall time and the bear hunting, it was a big deal, so they moved it away from. It was originally November, I think, and they said that would impact the bear training, bear dog training, so they moved it. So June, no, it's not the best time, but June, this is a stair-step event. The June event is a stair-step event. The planned event is March, right, when there is not rafting and there is not as much tourism here.
So it's not a one-time thing. It's a
No,
I'm saying it's not a function.
No, I'm saying it's not a function. Well, and that's true, but I think when you're throwing out numbers, you should be able to run either or out.
I'm a local business owner. June doesn't do much at all. March would be good.
I'm not for it or against it. I just want to see hard numbers. I don't like...
Numbers don't lie.
One number. They've done other races. They can give us projections off of that. It should not be that hard.
You could not have to go far and talk to those businesses in Copper Hill because I've been talking to some.
I live in Copper Hill.
Okay. And they were very happy with the economics that they received.
All right. So, according to our timeline and everything, there is a small amount of time for the elected officials. So if you all, so Samantha would like to go first right quick, and then we'll hurry up, get them through, and then we got to be out of here momentarily.
I just have a statement for Stuart. When you first started talking, you said you asked the community before anything. You didn't. You didn't even ask us. You didn't even come here and tell us that you were going to put out a permit. We found out, well, I found out because I signed up for your emails a long time ago just so I could see what was going on. We had no clue that you had asked for a permit. You didn't even come speak to us, which, I mean, clearly, a lot of them have a lot of problem with it. These people right here that are mad, how are we supposed to tell them that, well, we didn't know about it because you asked for it before you even come to us, before we even knew about it? But we get bombarded. We had no clue. So when you got up to stand, you said you asked the community. You did that. You didn't even tell us that you were doing this. Last time we checked, you were on that crab farm in Copper Hill. So how do you think we feel about it? How do you think we should answer to these people?
May I respond?
We're sorry.
If I didn't answer you or the commission directly, my apologies.
You should at least come make a statement.
But if every person in Polk County that I've talked to personally, or that one of my folks talked to, were to raise their hand, there are hundreds and hundreds. Had communication as much, and we're going to all volunteer. I've got another job. I'm doing this because I think it's a big thing and it could be really great for the whole region. And so you can ask my children there about their absentee father, who's on the phone all the time, that I try to communicate as much as possible. If I missed some or if I haven't come to commission meetings, then I apologize. But I've talked to lots and lots of people for the whole time since last year, and I sat down as well.
So you don't think before you ask the Forest Service, before we bombard him, Phillip's a nice guy, and we absolutely just tear him apart sometimes. You don't think you should have showed up and just made an announcement or a statement, say, "Hey, I'm gonna ask for this permit." You don't think that that was one of those absent days that you should have just made it there because all of us have jobs too. We sit here, we don't get paid to do this. Do you not think that that would have been the respectful thing to do?
I've had conversations with the officials and the Forest Service for years since last year.
When you ask for this permit, which elected official did you speak to?
I actually talked to Robbie about trying to find some private lands, and he was very gracious and introduced me to a couple people.
But
back in the summer.
Right, that was when the plan was made and the application went on July 21st. But it was before that, when the conversations were having about.
So, no, this specific permit, when you applied for it, who did you talk to out of all of us? So we could just say, hey, you know, have this in the minutes, have it in the paper before we just get the bar. You didn't. But I missed what you said.
I was just saying there have been numerous meetings inside the community.
After the permit was asked for, not before.
You know, actually, I did come to economic development meeting at the Kill Courthouse back last year.
When you had it in Copper Hill on the farm?
Nope, before that.
There was no
that was the summer, I think, or maybe May of last year.
The first meeting I was at was in GG Steiner's.
Yeah, GG Steiner's with both team there. That was in the spring, well before the summer.
Yeah, I've got some questions about directed at Forest Service. So we don't make any money other than the equipment of your 50-hour survey roads. Is there like a cost for the permit? We all make any money off of this
So that is a very good question. So the Forest Service, for any permit that we do, there is a fee that's assessed for the permit itself. Because this one has more than 50 hours of analysis that's required to complete it, there's additionally the cost recovery, which is the recoupment of all of our costs. And then in the permit itself, there's a stipulation that the federal government will receive a percentage of the take of the event on some level. I'd have to get into the specifics of what it says, but all of our permits have it. So, for example, if we have any other event, there's a calculation that whoever has the event has to provide us within so many days, and then they get a bill for that that then goes to the Treasury.
If you make that percentage of all the money they make, is that what you're saying? Like the cost they charge their for entry fees and stuff like that, you'll make money?
How much was that bill?
That's correct.
Extra help if we need it.
Yes, ma'am. We
so everybody does understand, whenever those departments are used, that's, if they go, then they can receive on their side. That's not something that the county on our side that we pay them to go out and do. Like if they go out to do an event like in Copper Hill, there was some monies that came in from Riley that went into a separated account for them to be able to use. But anytime you see them go out, if they do this, it's through mutual aid. And that's,
and everybody's big, always covered. There's always
correct.
Another
somebody's
person,
always covered.
There's always another ambulance somewhere sitting if they're out doing something. It's never
can happened. I ask him a question real quick?
Yes, sir.
Speak to my firefighter EMS guys. Anybody on your crew, not necessarily with Jaws of Life extraction, but chassis extraction. You got anybody that's ever been trained on that? Or in the Chattanooga crew even?
What's your question?
Chassis extraction itself.
We're, the people that work these races are all trained in vehicle extrication, advanced vehicle extrication.
With chassis cutting.
Yes, that's what we
it's
do.
It's a very different process.
Yes, that's what we do.
So to answer your question, the cost recovery that they have paid at this point, based on the estimate we sent them, was $20,916.59. That was an estimate that our specialists are keeping track of their hours. If it's above that estimate, then they'll receive a bill for the extra hours. If it's below that estimate, then they'll get a refund.
So Rally's already paid this $20,000 to Forest Service for the work you're doing.
That's correct. So when the process, we sent them the cost recovery in November of 2023, this agreement right here, they signed it and sent it back to us in January 19th. I signed it February 6th. They paid the balance February 14th. That's the day we officially started reviewing this permit. That's the day our 90-day storm. And then to ask your question, I pulled up the agreement itself. And the fees, the land use fees, are 5% of adjusted gross receipts for a one-time event. So after it's over, that's what they would be good.
So you're going to be a poke in here today?
Great question, Dan.
That's funny, Dan.
He's serious. He's serious.
That's a great question. You won't think it's that, there are only certain things I'm statutorily allowed to do. I'm trying my best to be a good partner. There are certain things that I'll have to do.
So, one more question. Why are you promoting this? What is the permit to account for the issue? Why are you promoting
this? If I had the luxury of being able to get the permit and then set a date for an event, it would be fabulous. So, I'll do that all day long. But unfortunately, because the sequence of events would take so long that it would be 15 years from now before we'd ever get to a world level event. Like I said, there being four ones to have this on the calendar. So to meet that time frame and serve all those masters, which, you know, a couple of them are in the room and a lot of them are outside the room, we have to strategically figure out a date or a series of dates and then work towards those dates with some stuff been not done yet. Sometimes you get to the place where your stuff hadn't arrived, right?
Yeah. You remember last time you stood out there on that Logan and asked you where the start line was for Lost Creek? You know, for practice round. And I told you that Wayne, right down here that lives on Lost Creek, his first gate on the left, was, you can't block him in his driveway. Oh, no, Shine, we're not going to do that. We're going to start at the hill above. You blocked him out of his driveway. He started that block. So you have to, right off the bat. You know what that makes me feel? That's terrible. That's not a good way to work with us. Why did you lie?
We actually stopped. I apologize if it did.
You did?
No, I apologize. But on the day of, we actually shut the stage down specifically so we could get out. And we moved to start the stage past that for this year, like a proposal. So we can put that all together. So we've done two or three things in response to that to try to mitigate it and make it better. So all I do is apologize and try to make it better.
I don't like that last two.
I do think Commissioner Carver brought up a good point. If you can go around some of the businesses, and I know that there are some that you were in touch with, but others, to promote it and to draw attention with them, I think that would go over a long way in the community. I know in Copper Hill there were a couple of businesses, but the majority of them did not see any sort of benefit, and there's a lot more down there, and I think that they would be very appreciative if you did do some promotion there. And again, I'm not for or against it. I just want to make sure, like Commissioner Shane over here said, that we're going about this the right way and that we're talking real dollars and numbers. And I think advertising, bringing a car in, maybe down to Copper Hill where people can come see the car. I don't know. It's not my, not in my nexus racing, but I think that there's a lot that could be made headway with some of the businesses down there where they could benefit from that. So I think Commissioner Carver's 100% right on that.
You know, and that's something I'll say this, like Danny said, Mr. Stewart. Right now, people come in from Chattanooga, let's just be honest, and Stewart and I had this conversation. If they come into a rally race in the National Forest, they're going to go up 64, they're going to hit a couple roads, and they're going to go right back down 64, and they're going right out of Polk County. I see everybody's head nodding. So one of the things that we talked about was what about being able to make it to where there were things, especially whenever you get down along 411, something, the glider pool, somewhere or another big enough for a lot of spectators to be able to get for those things that so it could come off and come around. Because if not, it's like Jimmy says, if you don't have our restaurants open, if you don't have these people that want to and are not out there, they're not going to receive anything either. And so as Danny asked, and I'll give Stuart that was one of the things that we looked about, was trying to bring them and make it to where there's stations. Now, when you hear that, you're probably going to say, well, does that mean that it's coming? I will be sure everybody knows. Because I was at Stewart's at the Boys and Girls Club. John was there and everything else. Christy was on via phone, different ones there. I had a lot of people came to me and said, man, this is going on for 5 years. There's not a permit. There's not been a permit. There's not a permit issue. So that's what makes it hard whenever on this side and you hear this side, because when it hits social media on January 31st, because that's whenever it started getting out. And then when you have people that are sitting here going, this is my home, I didn't even know anything about it. Well, the reason why you didn't is because there's nothing set in stone. But at another meeting we had, John, I like the world over, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like that this is going on for the next 5 years. And we're like, no, I'm sitting there, no, this one permit's not been done yet. It's just starting. But it makes it hard whenever people think that things have happened behind their back. So I know that we're 8:15. Does anybody have anything right real quick? If you have something that you want to get an answer to, if you'll write it down. Also, one other quick thing, John, I get back. But in the back, and they have said that there's going to be an email address. So if you'll leave your email address, if you want to know what's going on, you'll sign up, put your email address. Somebody will be contacting you through those emails. And that way you can stay on top of everything that's going on, whether it be from the Forest Service side, that they'll transfer down World Rally, to that list is back there. Real quick.
Are there any other promoters buying World Rally tickets? Can you tell us about
and where?
In the
There are other locations. We are the promoter. We have the right to promote, solely to promote a World Rally effort in the United States. But there are other locations that were looked at before I came on board that are still vying for the opportunity to be a location for the World Rally. Event like this, it'd be whether or not they have enough roads for a world level. they don't have as much road as down here for a world. About 180 miles, 150 to 180 miles.
Okay, so it would be a lot more
forced. Anybody else before we come off the
I just want to say that I would probably stand with Baker Lease as much as anybody, and just from an unbiased standpoint, the part of it that driver that I guess I would have to complain about is like last year you're embarrassing and I appreciate your moving it. But the fact is that fly fishermen can't keep the kayakers out. Hikers can't keep the bear hunters out. Bear hunters can't keep anybody else out. The mountains belong to all of us, but all of these people have to buy licenses and permits and pay taxes, and yet we're going to deny all of them the right to their pursuit of happiness during these 2 or 3 days, and there's going to be very little bit of